It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
Well, as I'm sure you anticipated, I am going to talk about the Southern California fires. Honestly, there really isn't much to say that hasn't already been said. Obviously, and you've heard this from so many, my heart goes out to the people who lost their homes, lost their livelihoods, most important of all, lost their loved ones. My prayers are with them. I'm very aware that prayers don't mean a lot to some people. Prayers are appreciated by others. It all depends on your belief system. I get that. Santa Ana winds raging from the east and causing fires is nothing new in and of itself. We've had many of them in California, but never anything like this. It's been called apocalyptic. Fires that in no time at all spread to so many cities and regions, Palisades, Eaton, Hearst, Sunset Boulevard, many others kept adding to the list. People are demanding accountability from their elected officials. The blame is appropriate, but nothing will make it look more inappropriate to the left than blame that comes from Donald Trump. Trump blames Governor Newsom and the mayor of Los Angeles. He said as much in a typical Trump style. I'm going to read his words from a couple of days ago. Now, before I read them, the situation thankfully has gotten a little better since these words. But these were his words in the midst of the immediate chaos. Fire is spreading rapidly for 3 days. Zero containment. Nobody has ever seen such failed numbers before. Gross incompetence by Gavin Newsom and Karen Bass, and Biden's FEMA has no money, all wasted on the Green New scam. L.A. is a total wipeout. Well, the California governor responded. He said, people are literally fleeing. People have lost their lives. Kids lost their schools. Families are completely torn asunder. Churches burned down. This guy wanted to politicize. I have a lot of thoughts, and I know what I want to say. I won't. Okay, let me share my own thoughts on this idea of politicizing a tragedy. First of all, it's not like Newsom and his fellow Democrats don't politicize tragedies. They do it constantly. They do it all the time. Every time there's a shooting, they rake Republicans over the coals for failing to pass gun control legislation. Neither do they themselves hold back regarding fires or hurricanes. They make it crystal clear that both are the result of climate change. Yeah, it's climate change, all right. Thanks to these total incompetents, the climate is more deadly and destructive than ever. But moving away from the sparring of politicians, let's stop for a moment and tackle the idea of casting blame in its own right. Naturally, we would all agree that while people are suffering, the most important thing is rescue and comfort and care and prayer. When we look at it that way, calling out those responsible may seem cold. It may seem like pouring salt on the wounds. Fair enough. But my friends, consider this. Helping victims, empathizing with victims, and punishing perpetrators are not mutually exclusive. My purpose right now is to defend the people who are suffering. Because when death and destruction could have been avoided, it is imperative to call it out. Otherwise, it will happen again. We remember the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. Or as Trump puts it, he says, every year as the fires rage and California burns, it is the same thing, and then he comes to the federal government for financial help. Yeah, in 2020, President Trump signed a federal memorandum that redirected millions of gallons of water. Newsom's administration sued to block it. Here's what Trump said about that. Governor Gavin Newsom refused to sign the water restoration declaration put before him that would have allowed millions of gallons of water from excess rain and snow melt from the north to flow daily into many parts of California, including the areas that are currently burning in a virtually apocalyptic way. He wanted to protect an essentially worthless fish called a smelt by giving it less water. It didn't work, but didn't care about the people of California. Now the ultimate price is being paid. I will demand that this incompetent governor allow beautiful, clean, fresh water to flow into California. He is the blame for this. On top of it all, no water for fire hydrants, no firefighting planes, a true disaster. Those were the words of President Trump. But it wasn't enough to divert water flowing from up north and reroute it into the ocean. Newsom also refused to build new dams and tore down some of the old dams to save the salmon. The salmon. Now, I like salmon, especially for dinner, but for Pete's sake, let's get some perspective. Very early in this catastrophe, firemen got to homes on time, but here's the kicker. Water was not coming out of fire hydrants. In the past, Trump had also visited Newsom personally and chided the governor for California's refusal to have controlled burnings that would get rid of underbrush and dead trees, otherwise known as fuel. Environmentalists go wacko over such ideas, yet who knew more about the environment than Native Americans? And many of them did have controlled burnings in California years ago. Environmentalists don't want to see forests burn at all, so instead of controlled burnings, we have out-of-control burnings on steroids, destroying neighborhoods and cities, wreaking havoc on anything in its path. The resulting toxic waste that went up into our atmosphere should perhaps concern an environmentalist or two, you think? Well, the blame does not lie entirely with Governor Newsom. He certainly is among the guilty, but there's plenty of blame to go around, mostly in the name of politically correct bureaucracy. We can look at State Farm canceling insurance in Southern California, but keep in mind that the government regulations were interfering with the private sector and not allowing them to raise premiums. In other words, it can be argued that the government's strangleholds forced this decision. And there's another idea that I've heard, that the insurance companies were making an assessment of California's ability should a fire like this get out of control, when they're looking at all the regulations in California that would allow something like this to get out of control, when they're looking at the condition of the spending and the fire department. And maybe they realized that there's no way, if anything like this happened, they'd possibly be able to finance the restoration of all of these homes. So they did a preemptive strike and pulled out ahead of time. But whatever the reason, people have now lost their homes and they have no insurance. The Hollywood millionaires will be okay. The average worker will not. Although thankfully, charities and churches will kick in and mitigate some of this damage. The shared culpability goes on. Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass cut $17.6 million from the fire department. But she's on record as saying, "My highest priority is diversity, equity, and inclusion." And the first female LA fire chief has also talked about the importance of DEI. And she's been hailed on her resume for not only being the first woman fire chief, but being part of the LGBTQ community. She said diversity is at least among the priorities of the fire department. A priority for the fire department. Yes, of course, because having firefighters learn their pronouns is the best way to stop a Santa Ana wind-driven incineration. Well, be of good cheer. When the state government fails us, there's always the federal government. Still under the auspices of President Biden, who happened to be in California anyway, so he held a joint press conference with Governor Newsom, offering some very soothing, encouraging words. He started by talking about the devastating fire, and then, as always, found a way to make the moment about himself. Joe says, "Only one piece of good news. I'm a great-grandfather." Okay, look. Having grandchildren is a blessing, something to be happy about. I'm a grandfather. But the timing of this comment was about as helpful as a Band-Aid on liver cancer, about as helpful as blasting a symphony over your hi-fi to help your friend get over a headache. As for the estimated damage, and these were only early assessments, they've gotten much worse, but early assessments between $52 billion and $57 billion. Oh yeah, Even though their homes were burnt to the ground, and even though there's no insurance money for rebuilding, homeowners will still be responsible for their property taxes. How's that for a little icing on the fire-baked cake? But that pales compared to people losing their homes, their memories, their livelihoods, their neighborhoods, and in some cases, their loved ones. But we saved the Delta Smelt! Human beings do share this planet with other creatures, after all. My friends, if this were the screenplay for a bad movie, nobody would believe it. California, the Golden State, is in gold-plated, lame-brained, blithering idiocy. But the idiocy will continue as our leaders seek re-election, and some people will continue to vote for them. Oh, and of course, they will find a way to blame it all on Donald Trump, Republicans, conservatives. This is pathetic. This is disgusting. This is inexcusable. This is insanity. And this is also Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
Believe it or not, Bob Siegel is aware that there may be one or two people who disagree with his opinions. To offer your own comments on the topic at hand, or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, feel free to contact Bob on Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-aged child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Always good to be joined with columnist Mike Friedenberg. And I'll bet he has just one or two things to say about the news.
Global warming.
Yes, it's all about global warming, isn't it? They're going to blame this on Trump. They're going to say, well, if Donald Trump didn't speak against global... Yeah, because we've never had Santa Ana winds before. They didn't exist 200, 300
global
years ago.
Global warming made them worse.
Yes, of course, of course. Except when it gets too cold, it's not global warming, then it's climate change. They just conveniently changed the expression.
Climate change is Mother Earth's desperate attempt to stop global warming.
It makes your head spin, and there are so many people that believe this. It's just a pack of nonsense.
I looked up, just out of curiosity, haven't done the calculations yet, on how much greenhouse gases are produced by the fires, these fires. And they had not come up, but when I looked it up, article after article after article about how these fires were the result. I mean, literally, Google churned it up, the result of global warming. Here's what the impact of 1.5 degrees.
It's not the result of the incompetence of our state officials. God forbid we should look at that idea.
So that's by the way, I'll just say this. I always make it a pitch. Google is horrendous.
Yeah, DuckDuckGo is a much better one.
Well, DuckDuckGo is still not great. If you want to get past the political correctness, DuckDuckGo won't do it for you. It's a little better, but...
What do we need, DuckDuckGoose?
Yeah. I suggest Yandex, YANDEX.com. If you're trying to get really specific on something like a technical issue that's not political, Google's better. But if you're trying to get past political correctness and wokeism and all the bias, Yandex.com is vastly superior to Google. I was just noticing it just
now. Some of the media companies are saying that they're going to turn away from the wokeness. There seems to be kind of a Trump revolution going on.
Certainly has not happened in Google at this point.
They are amongst the ones that claim they're going to do it, though.
We will see.
I agree. We shouldn't hold our breath
on the search results, and I can just tell you that it's horrendous. Interesting fact, though, in 2022, they did come up with an estimate how much the California wildfires, how much greenhouse gases they dumped into the atmosphere, 127 million metric tons. And get this, over the previous last 18 years before 2022, all of California's business-destroying radical environmental regulations had cut 65 million tons in the 18 years previous. So the 2022 fire season for California more than doubled 18 years of greenhouse gas emissions that have been wrecking our economy, if you even believe that those are what's driving the world. There are so many aspects, as you touched on all of them. Insurance companies, it was Prop 103.
What insurance company could have paid for all this? I don't have any love for insurance companies, but I can't blame them for pulling
out. Prop 103 was passed in 1988. What it did is it strictly limited the ability of insurance companies to raise their rates. And then it set up a commission, the insurance commission, and all that kind of stuff. So what's been happening since then is slowly but surely, as the radical environmentalism's got worse and the fire threat has gotten worse, all these things, then it's becoming less and less possible for insurance companies to do business in California. So they're leaving. One study showed that on cars, in the last few years, for every dollar of insurance premiums they brought in for car insurance, the insurance companies are paying out $1.13.
Well, and plus,
you can't make money.
What happened last week and what's happening as we talk was very predictable. And they look at the regulations, they look at this perfect storm, and they're saying, even if we could pay for some of the homes, we're not going to be paying for all of them that take place in this apocalyptic thing.
So they're not right. So they look at the inane, stupid regulations that just aren't explainable by anybody reasonable. And a big part of the brush fires are chaparral. Yes, the big chaparral. These are a big majority of what you see here. It's really, really, it's designed, the way the chaparral environment works, is designed to have natural fires every year or two, and it burns down these, you know, small amount of brush, it burns down, it helps germinate the seeds from the chaparral. I mean, all these things here. But what we've done is we've suppressed this, so we've had this massive buildup. So when these fires hit, by the way, also some chaparral has oiliness in it. So it actually, it's a perfect environment just to create massive fires, because we have not kept the chaparral down. These fires that would normally be not that big of a deal and not kill major trees, now the fires get so hot, they kill off the trees that normally would have survived.
Yeah, there's that. And then there's the fact that there was a ballot measure a few years ago in the state of California, the people of California, voted to build more dams, and they did not build them. And instead, they took down some of the dams that they had.
So the National Park Service knows the Southern California chaparral and the coastal sage scrub often grow as continuous closed canopies and have the perfect fuel characteristics to ignite easily, burn intensely, and spread rapidly. Thank you, the National Park Service. So that's the environment that we have not been managing. We've been allowing to go crazy, because you still would get like nightling and other things that would start fires. And, you know, we were able to suppress those. And then the other thing that it's something that was relayed to me by my wife is brought up, that homeless fires started by homelessness. It used to be like a few hundred or 1,000. You know, a year. Now it's 14,000 responses from the L.A., you know, Los Angeles.
Well, and somebody suggested to me today that it could be terrorism, too. This makes the pickings really easy for terrorists.
You set something like this up, sure, why not? I mean, you could drive your car through a bunch of people in, you know, a celebration, New Year's celebration, or you could just go out there and toss a match into an explosively dangerous brush buildup and kill a bunch of people and cause... By the way, the latest estimate on the damage for the fire?
Yeah, I know it's gone way up.
$150 billion.
Wow. So it just keeps going up every day. Well, one thing we do know, Mike, is there's plenty of culpability to go around, but none of it is Governor Newsom's. He is completely innocent of all this. He's done just a crackerjack job.
So between 2020 and 2022, insurance companies declined to renew insurance for 2.8 million homeowners. On September 30th, 2024, State Farm announced that it would be dropping another 1 million homeowner policies over the next 5 years. So it's not the insurance company's fault. You can't expect businesses to operate when they're guaranteed to lose money. And it's not responsible for them to do that because they have other states they've got to insure, people from other states. They can't put their entire insurance base at risk because we're going to do charity in California. But so we have a tragedy created by ineffective, unreasonable, and unscientific environmental regulations. The California Coastal Commission, the Air Quality Management District, all these things. Can't do a burn because you might dump some carbon into the atmosphere. You will, of course. And you take that with the insurance companies. So now you've created this horrible situation that's guaranteed to produce the maximum amount of pain. And then you add into a focusing on DEI for hires in the fire department. And most of it is not DEI still. Most of it is very solid, competent firefighters. But there's still...
Well, as far as the average firefighter, but as far as how their money is being spent, that's another story.
No, yeah. You look at that, and then you look at that they had a million-gallon-plus reservoir. What was it, $100 million? $100 million-gallon reservoir that was closed for repairs.
Yes.
127 million gallons.
It just makes your head spin.
So it was closed for repairs because they had regulations, want to maintain drinking water purity, whatever. However, that just shows you that our infrastructure, our water infrastructure, has not grown. There's been opposition to growing the water infrastructure. And one of my theories is, and I'm not the only one who has it, is that if you keep control of the water, then you get to have petty bureaucrats acting like dictators. You could only water your lawn twice a week. If you bring plentiful water to California, and if you built up the reservoir capacity to match the population growth, they wouldn't be able to have this kind of control. And we would also be able to take down one relatively small reservoir, still relatively small reservoir, and still have the reserves to handle the fire. And then the word is that the head of the water department that they hired recently to bring in, $750,000 a year, doubling the previous salary. It was a DEI hire.
Boy, that was money well spent.
Yeah, that she knew that there was problems with the fire hydrants in advance.
Wow. Now, Mike, are any of these people going to be held to account, or is it all going to be blamed on Trump and global warming?
It's global warming and Trump. That's one of the things, is that there will be no accountability. And that's one of the things that frustrates people. We see it at the local level, and then we see it at the national level, right?
Are the people of California going to continue to put Democrats into office after this?
Bob, I honestly do not know, because
I'm inclined to think that a lot of them still will.
For probably 30 plus years, I keep asking myself, is this what's going to do it? Is this going to finally push California over to not...
Well, not if they sell this global warming narrative.
Well,
and again, folks, we're not even saying that the world isn't warming. All we're saying is that it's never been proven, and the scientists themselves will tell you this, it has not been proven that human beings have anything to do with it.
So about 1 in 10 homeowners are not insured, and in Los Angeles County, that works out to be about 1.57 million homes uninsured. This insurance crisis is a crisis right now, and I'm even kind of nervous about it. State Farm, farmers, all these agencies, I mean, we have farmers. They're looking at saying, you know, it just doesn't make sense to do business in California anymore. Now, the state has set up an alternative insurance, but it's very expensive and it's getting swamped. So Prop 103 has turned out to be, it was basically the equivalent of rent control. When you do rent control, what happens? You get less housing and higher prices for housing.
Right.
And when you
when they raise minimum wage, same thing. It just puts people out of work because people can't afford to pay the raise in minimum wage.
And when you just slap on a heavy-handed bureaucratic approach and doing insurance premium control, what do? You get less insurers, and ultimately you end up with either no insurance, or you can go to this specialized insurance where it's super high rates. So it is a complete and utter disaster on this. And the tragedy there, I mean, obviously you're getting away with your life is the number one thing. But people who live in their homes, I mean,
there are other kinds of tragedies.
Years.
And
pictures,
it's not just
the
memories.
That the little marks on the side of the door showed the ages of the kids. All those things are just gone.
It's bred into our bone to want our own place to stay, to want our own home. This is just horrible. It's unthinkable what these people are going through right now.
And we pay people exorbitant salaries to do all this kind of work, to do this kind of planning and things like that. And this is what we get. So hopefully there will be some real accountability in the next cycles on some of this stuff where people just say enough's enough.
Seeing some good questions come out of the news media when these press conferences are being.
I mean,
did you see that mother that was yelling and screaming at Governor Newsom?
Well, I saw
when he was pretending to be talking to the president on the phone.
And he was caught that he wrote.
I have the president on the phone right now. Okay, let me hear him. Literally. Well, I can't get a hold of him. Oh, yeah. Well, then you don't have him on the phone.
I will say, though, she did say, can I go in the car with you to do this phone call since you don't have phone reception? Even I, in the public eye, would be like, no, I can't have a strange woman come in my car.
No, so no. I understand that, but still, I was still on her side for most of that.
So you also mentioned about that grandparent situation in your monologue earlier, by the way.
Oh, about quickly. Joe Biden talking about being a
The other thing I didn't appreciate was he was passing the microphone over to the vice president, and he said,
Fire away. No pun intended.
No pun intended afterwards.
Good one, Joe. Yeah. Good old Uncle Joe. Always there to cheer us up.
Well, speaking of the Delta smelt, did make me think of he who smelt it, dealt it. If that's a good one.
He who smelt it, dealt it. I love it.
That opening was left for, you know, bad jokes.
Yes.
You know, thanks, Biden, for that. So to close out here, I think somebody might be able to run on these kind of issues, government incompetence, the destruction, the devastation. Keep the ideology, just competence, and just really run on these issues. And maybe we can actually get some people in there that are actually semi-competent and not crazy.
And point to Native Americans who cared about the environment, who did controlled burnings. The left wouldn't have a lot to say with that. Okay, hold with me, Mike. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
We now return to the Bob Siegel Show.
Always good to be joined by my good friend and columnist, Mike Friedenberg. And Mike, in addition to the Epic Times, you're writing in some other places now. Why don't you tell our audience where they can find your
columns? Well, I've done some stuff for Daily Caller, but also been writing some big pieces for Responsible Statecraft. Yeah, and that's been interesting because I can do a little bit longer format there and I'm hitting a little bit different topics. So, yeah.
So where online can people find these
things? Well, ResponsibleStatecraft.com, so one word. Epic Times, obviously, the Epic Times.
And you said you've done some for Daily Caller, too?
The Daily Caller
as well.
Oh,
good.
Okay.
Yeah. That's the one Tucker Carlson created.
He's the one, he founded it.
Yes.
But he has no affiliation with whatsoever.
No affiliation. Okay.
Right now, as it is. So, obviously, since we're doing a radio show, we have to talk about Donald Trump at length.
As we've had to for the last, since the year 2000, really 15, I was going to say 16, but the whole year before the election year was when he came into the news, and he's never left the news cycle since.
Do you think his name has been mentioned a billion times?
I remember one time years ago when I came in here and we did a sound check, and instead of saying testing, what do you think, I just went Trump. Trump, Trump.
No, it's interesting. I was joking when I said a billion times. It's probably literally trillions of times.
Yes, yes, exactly. I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
So coming up this week, starting on Tuesday, we're
the hearings, the confirmation
hearings. And I looked at a schedule of them. And I think it's interesting going to these hearings because there's something different about these hearings. And we haven't seen anything like this in a long time. If you look at the number of the appointments for President Trump, they are a completely different group of nominees that would you typically see.
Yeah, this is a case of genuinely reaching across the aisle. I mean, there's Democrats and Republicans on that cabinet.
And they're not just part of recycling some guy that served in another administration coming back in, an old Republican. Even President Trump had a lot of those nominees the last time around, too.
Because he had a lot of idiots around him telling him
right.
that he needed to pick
them. And of course, he never got them approved.
He learned his lesson well from last time.
So the huge advantage is there's so many people there that are a threat to the deep state.
Yeah, because they're competent, the deep state's going to do everything they can to not get them through.
But they can't go after all of them with the kind of intensity they were able to go after Brett Kavanaugh or somebody like that.
No, but they'll pick a few. I think they're right. Pete Hegseth and the guy in charge of the FBI, I think they're going to go after them more than any other.
That's my point. There is a number of people that are major threats, so I thought I would just kind of go down them. By the way, you may have heard of Poly Markets.
I don't know much about them.
But basically, it's a site that allows people to look at the best information they can, and they place bets.
Oh, yeah. These are the guys that are always betting on the elections.
And what's going to happen.
Right,
so there's a betting on all the nominees right now. And most of the nominees are in the 80s, high 80s, early 90s in terms of getting
confirmed. Because public opinion has really swung Trump's way.
And, you know, the lowest you have some of like the 73%, I think, Gabbard is at a 73. So there's some that's going to be tougher. But, you know, for example, Doug Collins. Now, he's the Department of Veteran Affairs. He's a former congressman, and I think he's going to be an easy pass. He'll get through there. But then you have Pete Hegseth. I think it's going to be a pretty vicious process. But even
they're complaining about his tattoo, for crying out loud.
Well, the new one I saw is that he's the fact that he did an NDA with that woman that accused him of raping her, the married woman that, you know, was basically the evidence showed that it was actually
consensual. But apparently
consensual.
The police didn't take the charge.
Well, it was consensual.
The police did not take the charge seriously.
They did not take it seriously.
And there was no
action.
But
he still
taken.
Did pay her an NDA for her not to be running around screaming about it when he's Russ Fox News host. That doesn't mean that you're guilty. It just means that you think that
that's
bad.
All we're going to hear from the Democrats next week, isn't it?
So
and they're going to bring forth another person. Somebody else will come forward, right?
So I think that's going to be a tough one. And that's one of the lower percentages on Polymarket, 81%. So it's going to be tough and nasty. However, I still think he can get through. But they're going to go after him. Doug Burgum, you know, the former governor, right? It was a candidate. Department of Interior, I think he's going to get easy confirmation. Kristi Noem. Now, that'll be interesting.
I like her, except everyone's making a big deal out of this thing with her dog, which I think is much ado about nothing.
Right. I think it could be a tough one for she's a governor. Is she really a national security
She didn't
expert?
Shut her state down during COVID. They're not going to like that.
No, they didn't. And it's the Homeland Security Department. It's a very huge department. So that could be another tough one for us there. Pam Bondi.
I really hope she goes through.
They'd love to go after her, but I think they're going to have a hard time. It'll be some tough questions, but I'm confident that she's going to get.
Well, and she's proven herself as the attorney general in Florida. There's not much they can say, but they'll say it anyway.
So, and then, you know, you have the transportation department, this Sean Duffy at X.
Now, Mike, who could do a better job than Pete Buttigieg?
I don't think you can. So,
yeah, old pothole Pete, you can't replace him.
Yes. So I think that he's probably, you know, gets tough questions, but he gets through pretty easily there. John Ratcliffe, now that could be a nasty one because he's the former director of national intelligence. He really called out the national security deep state in the past. So they see him as the threat. He knows what's going on. But he does have experience. So
he's a reminder of the time when there was intelligence with national intelligence.
And Marco Rubio, he'll get through.
He'll get through.
I mean, he's an established guy. He's going to get through pretty easily. Chris Wright is interesting. He's a very, very smart energy guy with a lot of creative ideas and energy around that. I think he's a very intriguing choice. I think he'll get through, but he's got a lot of thoughts out there that people could bring up out of context and say, do you really mean this? But I think he'll still get through. I'm enthusiastic about him. And then this guy is a real threat, Russell Vought. V-O-U-G-H-T. He'll head up the Office of Management Budget. He did the same thing for Trump in his first term. He's really good, really committed to using the tools and the rules and the regulations to get what he wants done, the cutting of the bureaucracy. He's a major threat to the bureaucratic state, but he's really competent. So it's going to be a tough confirmation for him, but I think he'll get through. But you're seeing a lot of people here that just are not your normal people. They can't go after all of them.
They can't do all. Now, this guy, Tom, I'm forgetting his last name, the border guy that's always on Fox News all the time. You know who I'm talking about?
Yes, yes.
He's like the real border. He's not a cabinet. He doesn't have to get confirmed, does he?
I don't think so.
I believe Trump's just going to put him right on.
Yes.
And I really like that guy.
I think so, too. So, yeah, there's a lot of good stuff there. Holman.
Yes, Tom Holman. That's what I was thinking about.
And then we have Scott Turner, who is a former NFL player, 9 years as a defensive back. He's, I guess, one of Trump's few black appointments, but he's going to be part of the Housing and Urban Development. And he was also part of the Trump administration where he worked on the White House Opportunity Revitalization Council, which just was basically like going into inner cities and creating enterprise zones, figuring out ways to revitalize the inner city.
Wasn't that some of the stuff Ben Carson was working on last time?
Ben Carson worked with him on things like that as well. But he worked with Ben Carson on that. So he's going to replace Ben Carson, but he seems like a very good scene. Then Lee Zeldin, right?
He's the guy that almost became our governor in New York.
So he's going to be the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA. I think it's going to be tough, but he's a very good people skill person. He's not really a radical. I think they're going to have a hard time stopping him, and I think he'll be good on the EPA. So that's good. And then you got Scott Bessent, Treasury Department. I mean, his claim to fame, I have to say, he is the first openly gay Republican appointee for the presidential offices.
I thought there was somebody in his cabinet last time.
Yeah, he was an ambassador.
Yes,
like that.
Yes.
I mean, this is for a cabinet position.
Right.
Okay. And then you have the big ones that have not been scheduled yet, Tulsi Gabbard. And she's the one that has the lowest percent chance of getting through because there's some Republicans that are dubious about her as well. You know, and the national security establishment, the military industrial complex, the warmongers, they don't like her. So we'll still see. But I hope she gets through. I think she'd be fine. And of course, RFK is also another high. I mean, that pharmaceutical lobby.
This is really going to be something Democrats not wanting to see a Kennedy given a position of authority.
Yeah, and Cash Patel, you were talking about the FBI.
Yes,
director.
The head
that's
of the FBI.
But I guess the big point is Trump has...
Anybody that's going to go in there and really do their job, they don't want.
He has the support. I believe the U.S. Senate going to be pretty much on board with him. They're not going to want to pick a fight with him, the Republicans there. So I do think that this is a different environment, completely different from what it was in 2016.
Okay, we'll talk more about this different environment when we return. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
The sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is called Inside the Castle in the Glass, and already this entertaining sequel is getting great reviews from customers on Amazon.com. Reviews such as this one. Very clever way of introducing certain life principles in a fictional setting. I thoroughly enjoyed the story. Here's another review. I picked up this book at a book signing with Bob Siegel on a Friday. By Monday morning before work, I finished it. This is over 500 pages of story. I couldn't put it down. I would plan to put it down at the end of the chapter, then something big would take place. I would have to continue to see what happened. A lot of unexpected twists and turns and a lot of things you can't imagine. Things that make you say, "What?" By the way, I am pushing 60 years old and I enjoyed this book and look forward to more of Bob's books. Keep them coming. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
Okay, Mike, we have one more segment.
So confirmation hearings will be interesting. I think we're going to get some pretty good results out of them. I mean, obviously nothing can guarantee everybody's going to get through, but I think we've got a good shot at getting really a good cabinet in place and getting in place pretty quickly. Completely different from what Trump saw. He did not get a lot of his people approved at all because Mitch McConnell said, we're not going to bother with it. We're just going to do the judges. So he was really just running in a crippled mode throughout his first term. He just never got any of his people approved. That's not going to happen this time. So that's a big difference. So I thought it might just be kind of fun to take a look at some of the other things that President Trump's been talking about. You know,
he sure knows how to play Risk, knowing the strategy of Greenland and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't said anything about Australia yet.
Kamchatka.
I always started out in Australia.
No Kamchatka.
Boy, with the geography lesson you learn in that game.
Yes. So Panama, Greenland, Canada, and the Gulf of America. I mean, what can we say?
Now, Mike, how much do you think Trump's just throwing this stuff out as a bargaining chip? Do you really think he seriously wants Canada as a state? I wouldn't want the people of Canada voting in our election. That could foul up everything.
You know, it's
interesting. They're pretty liberal there. It just gives a lot more votes to the Democrats.
I think you'd find a lot of Republicans distinctly unenthusiastic about that. However, figuring out some ways that are mutually beneficial ways to tighten up trade relations.
I think that's what's going to be the result of this. Now, whether we actually purchase Greenland to make that a state, that's another whole
story.
That seems a little more doable.
Something that's interesting is I just spent some time, you know, it's amazing. If you look at maps a lot of times give you a lot of insight. You know, you hear these things, but when you look at a map, sometimes the stories make a lot more sense. So Greenland sits there on the other side of us from Canada, right? And technically, it is a little bit closer to Denmark than us, if you consider it. However, Greenland actually sits in the North American continent because it is on the same North American tectonic plate.
Yeah.
So it is part of North America. And the reason it's important
is because China and Russia are looking at it.
Well, it's China and Russia right now have been busy building up infrastructure to take on the Arctic and to develop it and lay claim to it. And we're behind them.
What's going to happen to Santa and his reindeer if the Russians take over the North Pole, Mike?
Well, he'll just be a little bit more Orthodox, a little bit more Russian Orthodox.
They'll just be put on Santa's naughty
list.
But
if China takes over, of course, you know, being an atheist society, it'll be, you know, bad deal.
Yeah.
So
if it's an atheist society, they can't believe in Santa Claus either, obviously.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, that's a little bit too fairy tale like. So Greenland is positioned. A lot of Greenland is literally in the Arctic Circle, so it's a key strategic place from which to. Not only does it have a lot of resources, but it's also, which is positions us well to deal with that whole Arctic competition. So it's the great power competition. Right now, there's three great powers in the world. I'd say the two major ones, obviously, are China and the United States. And the third is Russia. Russia's still a great power just because of their military might. And their economy, it's like the ninth biggest in the world. So it's not like it's like a small economy. And they're still a big nation. So I do think he wants to do something with Greenland. And the Greenlanders, you know, the president just announced he's very happy and very eager to talk to President Trump about Greenland's future and what they can do together.
Yeah, the Greenlanders are happier about it than Denmark is, apparently.
Yeah, but none of these stuff, you know. And one of the things he said at a press conference, which I agree with, is he was asked by a reporter, now you're talking about these things, but can you assure the world that using economic coercion or military power is completely off the table in these things you're talking about? And Trump just said, no.
Yeah, but in another question, when he was asked only about the military power, he said no to that. What he doesn't want to take off the table is the economic
coercion.
Yes,
he's also not. He's made it very clear on Panama in particular, too. I don't think he's taking the military power off the table on the Panama stuff. And why
would
he?
Well, he's very concerned about Panama because it's basically being run by China now, and that was not part of the bargain when we sold Panama. And wasn't it true that Jimmy Carter sold it for like $1?
Well, it was $1. It was the construction, the whole thing there was...
Good, Jimmy.
A brutal, brutal... But of course, it was approved by the U.S. Senate. A two-thirds vote of the U.S. Senate did in 1978.
Why did we ever make such a stupid agreement?
I don't know.
Especially since we were the ones that built it, and then we give it to another country for $1.
38,000 American lives were lost building it, Bob.
Yeah, 38. And then we sell it off for $1.
And it was built. And the treaty, though, but here's the treaty. The treaty is supposed to guarantee neutrality, and it's supposed to guarantee that Panama protects it from threats.
And they're charging us more for using it than anybody else.
That's what Trump says. I looked at it briefly. I'm not sure how much of that. They have been raising rates, but there's been some factors
there. You think Trump might be exaggerating that?
Maybe a little bit.
As he's sometimes known to do.
He never does that, but maybe this is the first time. Maybe this is the first time. But the thing is that China controls the ports of Cristobal and Balboa. Those are the ports on the Atlantic and Pacific sides of the canal. So they control the entry points from both sides of the oceans. And the Panamanian president says, well, it's not China. Well, no, it's Hong Kong. Hong Kong now is fully part of China. So yeah, the fact that a Hong Kong company is fronting and controlling these organizations, and he says, well, there's no military personnel there. There's no military personnel there you can see. But if you don't believe that there aren't Chinese intelligence operatives and military personnel in planes closed there, at President Xi's, if things went bad with China, worse than they are, he could tell those people, there's people in those ports, which employ tens of thousands of people, that could go and sabotage the ports. Absolutely. So China is under control. It's not legal control, but it's de facto control. China has de facto control of both sides of the canal. And they've also been gaining a lot of influence with Panama. Panama cut off formal relations, severed all diplomatic ties with Taiwan, in 2016, I believe, and then has been really cozying up to communist China. Now, part of that's our own fault. We've been fooling around with doing regime change in places like Ukraine and Georgia and, you know, getting involved with wars. And we've been letting China eat our lunch right here in Latin America. So we've got to do better. So I think that's part of Trump's overall agenda, is that we're going to start exerting our regional influence in the Americas. We've got to re-exert our regional influence in the Americas and shove China out. And Panama is a good place to start. Absolutely, positively a good place to start doing that. I don't think he wants to use military power there. He just doesn't believe that taking anything off the table, hey, don't worry, you don't have to worry about us doing anything. That's just a bad negotiating strategy. You leave everything on the table. We missed the ball. Panama spent $5.6 billion building a parallel canal to the original one. And they made it big enough to handle most ships. They did not make it big enough to handle our aircraft carriers. What if we just given them a couple billion dollars to make it big enough to handle our aircraft carriers? But we were asleep on the job, incompetent foreign policy establishment. It's very frustrating. So Trump will be doing stuff in these areas. I'm sure he's committed to it. I don't expect us to be going to war. I think he's serious about Greenland and Panama.
That is interesting, because I was under the impression that he was not really using any kind of military threat. That would be unprovoked, wouldn't it? We don't really have a right to use the military on Greenland, for instance.
Well, Greenland,
I feel a little differently about Panama.
No, Panama, absolutely we do have
a right. Yeah, it's Greenland that I don't think we have the right to do.
And that's what I'm mainly thinking. It's Panama we do, because it is a key. Our Navy ships go back and forth.
Right.
And if somebody threatens that.
That's a national security.
That's a national security threat.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Mike, well, as always, it's great having you on. We'll have you on again really soon. And probably the next time we have you on, Trump will have already taken the oath of office, unless Joe Biden uses the fires as an excuse to declare martial law and then say we can't reinstate him. I wouldn't put anything past that guy. Okay, we'll see you all next time.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.